You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I want to live to be 100 years old. According to your research, what's it going to take for me to get over that line?
Oh, well, a lot of people are focused on the lifespan. That is sort of the easy way to conceptualize aging well, but it's not really true. We focus on the health span. So I think, you know, a lot of people, when you ask them, would go, oh, yeah, I'd love to be 100. But I think what they really mean is that I'd love to be 100 and enjoy my life. And that is what we are trying to help and find out. There are two different concepts which researchers actually look into. One of them is the lifespan or life expectancy. The other one is what we call the health span.
Okay.
Can we extend the healthy life expectancy of people? And that's what made us focus in our research on the what we call the great escapers, people who make it to 100 in perfect physical, mental, and cognitive health.
And so what did you find with these great escapers, these centennials? Was it that they ate really good diets, or that they were exercised, you know, 10 times, like all day long? And what were the trends?
Okay. I'm laughing because I think the audience and yourself are probably aware that my accent reflects my not being born or brought up in New Zealand. And when you talk about a healthy diet, in the context of that cohort of people who are 100 years old now in New Zealand, were brought up on traditional British food, which is sort of like the worst food you could give anyone if you want to keep their health and their brains healthy.
Okay, for sure, yeah.
So it's not about their diet, and I think, again, people who are 100 years old do not have that concept of I need to exercise or go to the gym or jog or you know, have count steps or whatever that we in much younger generations do. I think exercising, as we conceptualize it, was not, you know, not part of their lives. And what we were pleasantly surprised to find is that actually, if you like, the safety net for aging well is social connectedness. It's not so much about our bodies, not so much about our genes. It is much more about the way we are maximizing our evolutionary potential to be part of a social network.
So when we talk about remaining part of a social network and being socially active, what are we talking about? Are we talking about just catching up with friends once a week for, you know, like go to the pub or have a coffee or something? Or are we talking about deeper?
Probably more than that.
Yeah, so we're talking about deeper, more meaningful connection.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Indeed, you're right. We are talking about sometimes the word socializing is sort of, as you said, associated with, oh, just have a coffee with someone or catch up with mates in the pub. It is a form of socializing, but that form of social engagement is not the perfect challenge for the brain and the body that we recommend, or that the social engagement that our lucky great escapers were involved with took place a minimum of every other day. What do we mean when we say engaging? We mean volunteering, we mean challenging social engagements, like being part of a choir, or playing bridge, or being part of a debating society. So the social milieu, if you like, is a huge challenge to the human brain. Just think about it. A baby is born, for the first year of its life, it mostly interacts with its mother and somewhat with its father. And then if there are other children in the family, it will learn its place in an interaction within a very small group of human beings, mother, father, maybe a brother or a sister, and that's it. And then suddenly, when you go to preschool or to school, you are move to an environment that has so many other players, if you like. And your brain has to figure out the rules of engagement. Our brains are challenged, and they are perfect at adapting to that challenge. So all these challenges are synthesized and integrated by our brains, because that's how we are. You could probably tell me in your class who really likes you and who doesn't sort of feel that you are so lovely or brilliant. And there are so many challenges all the time when we are interacting within a social context, and our brains thrive on that challenge. Mm. And that is the social engagement that keeps our brains, but also our bodies, very healthy as we go through life.
And so this is something that not only happens in the early stages of development, but if we look at development as being something that occurs across the lifespan as well, or the health span perhaps, this is something that we can repeat as we get older, that we can still have new and engaging experiences which really stimulate us and give us all these wonderful new insights and keep us in love with the world around us.
As we age, as we go through the life cycle and we age, if we do maintain social engagement, we eventually are lucky enough to increase our wisdom. We intuitively feel that the elderly at times are sort of the wise. And it is true, because as you go through the life cycle, there is that opportunity to become wiser. And we know that wisdom that comes from that kind of engagement is a brilliant, brilliant buffer against loneliness, for example, or against depression.
For sure.
So there is some research on wisdom showing that, especially coming from the U.S., which I think is a joke, you know. I mean, with Donald Trump, talk about wisdom research. I mean, you wouldn't expect that, would you? But yeah, no. It is coming out of the U.S., and it is quite impressive. It's the beginnings of our understanding of the impact of wisdom as we age on beneficial health and life outcomes.
What I wanted to ask is that we, as a cultural group, and as different cultural groups have different ideas, but we have these ideas attached to aging and the appropriate behaviors for people within certain age groups. Is it possible that having a sort of linear view of aging could act to alienate people, perhaps?
Well, I think that, unfortunately, when we measure different forms of discrimination, it's surprising to most people, except to gerontologists or psychiatrists like myself, that the most discriminated against a part of any human culture is the aged. Everywhere, anywhere you go, people discriminate against the elderly. And I think that the kind of research we do, and looking at the positive aspects of aging, reaching that age of wisdom, being able to contribute to society because you don't have to, you're not hung up about your sort of more narcissistic, pleasant outcomes. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're 82, you are not really, you shouldn't be very focused on how fast your car goes, but rather on what you can contribute to the community or to the family that you're part of. So there is a movement along the life cycle from, if you like, self-centered or self-directed goals to goals which are much engaged with the community or the culture that you are part of. So if we can change people's understanding that the aged are actually a huge resource, a wise resource that we can tap into as a society, then maybe we'll see people reacting differently to older adults.
Mm. What is some advice that you would give us after conducting this research and seeing the healthy aging process, which has helped these great escapers remain connected and happy and healthy into old age?
It probably sounds stuffy and old because I am stuffy and not young, but I would tell people, take at least, an hour or two a day off your Instagram, Facebook, blah, 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 sort of, you know, social media time, and use that time to actually practice social engagement with real life friends and people and communities. Research shows that 1,000 likes on Facebook are not worth an hour with a good friend over a cup of coffee. Seriously. Just reduce your social media time and turn that into real people time.
I think that's a very, very sobering message to hear.
Well, I'm sorry. I knew it was going to be, you know, sort of, it was going to sound judgmental and old, but it's true.
I don't think that sounds old-fashioned or out of touch. I think that's actually sounds very relevant and actually taps into what I think a lot of younger people really desire at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. And they should pursue that.
I wanted to ask if at a policy level, if we're seeing these trends in like social engagement, helping people remain in good health across the lifespan and or the health span as we've learnt to refer to it as, is there mm-hmm. anything that can happen at a policy level which really helps accommodate healthy social engagement for older people?
Oh, brilliant question. Unfortunately, as you know, researchers and psychiatrists have very little impact on governmental decisions, but just look at a brilliant experiment, real-life experiment, that Obama sort of signed off on many years ago in Baltimore, where he promised anyone over 65 who is living off what Americans would call social sort of welfare. And he said, if you commit to volunteering a minimum of 6 hours a week, by the end of the first year that you have kept up that commitment, I will double your superannuation.
Wow.
And he was, not he personally, but the researchers who took up that project in Baltimore were able to show that every single older adult over the age of 65 who committed to that kind of project, and most of the projects had actually to do with helping disadvantaged kids. So you were up in the morning, walking them to school, making sure they get to school. You were helping them with their homework, maybe, you know, making sure they had something hot to eat when they come back from school, et cetera, et cetera. So people who did that for a year had their superannuation doubled. But when you looked at the people, not at the kids, at the people who volunteered, they lost weight, they had less high blood pressure, their memory was sharper. They were improving just by giving of their time into this kind of social commitment. Mm. So yes, we can change that. If the Ministry of Health or if the government is happy to double your superannuation, if you volunteer and help your community, wouldn't that be brilliant?
That would be absolutely fantastic.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.